The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from Isaiah chapter 9. There will be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. O Lord, have mercy on us. Our epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. O Lord, have mercy on us. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter, these words serve as our sermon text. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria. And they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a cave who lived under the ground, as caves have a habit of doing. It had spent its entire lifetime in darkness. It heard a voice calling to it, "Come into the light, and see the sunshine. The cave replied, I don't know what you mean. There isn't anything but darkness. Finally, the cave ventured forth and was surprised to see light everywhere. Looking up to the sun, the cave said, Come with me and see the darkness. The sun asked, What is darkness? The cave replied, Come and see. One day the sun accepted the invitation. As the sun entered the cave, it said, Show me your darkness. But there was no darkness. As we look at our text this morning from Matthew 4, we hear Jesus calling some of his disciples. Whatever those disciples may have known about Jesus prior to his words, follow me, they realized that when he called them, that they had been summoned by none other than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they recognized Jesus as God's light in the midst of darkness, which is our theme. My fellow walkers in the light of Christ. The darkness to which the text refers is not some sort of literal darkness that can be avoided by streetlights or nightlights. But it is a spiritual darkness, alienation from God, domination by sin, and hopelessness in the face of hell. And that darkness is not a pretty picture any way you try to describe it. None of us as sinners can avoid it. It afflicts everyone born according to the course of nature, since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. Look for a moment here at Peter and Andrew, the sons of Zebedee, whom Jesus calls to follow him. They appeared to have what they needed in life. They were gainfully employed as fishermen. Things on the surface appear to be going well. People, you and I included, have developed a great defense mechanism to deny trouble, to put up a good front so that everything appears to be going well, when really sometimes our lives are messed up and our homes are filled with turmoil. Sometimes they're a total mess and shambles. We simply live in a darkened world. And day after day, we are touched by the darkness of sin. And yet we sometimes journey through life thinking sometimes our lives are going to be absent from it. The people who Jesus was ministering to in that region of the world, well, they had darkness around them. They had to deal with invasions from countries to the east and the north. It's no different today. The world in which we live has plenty of people who really don't like us because of our confession of faith. Unless we never dare forget, the devil is always there somehow in the mix, trying to rip marriages apart, bring harm to families, and so on and so forth. Those are some of the realities that we find ourselves having to deal with. As we look, though, with the eyes of faith, focused upon Christ Jesus, we see something different. As far as us dealing with that, we can't. The law will do its job. It's written on our heart. We know, but we don't always acknowledge when we've done something wrong. Mankind cannot fix the dilemma of the darkness of what am I going to do with my sins and my failures. We know what comes as a result of sin. We cannot turn our lives back and live them over again. We can't force God to look upon us with favor or accept us into his presence. We cannot resurrect ourselves from death, but we can rejoice that there is God's light in the midst of all of that darkness. For in the midst of our darkness, God gives us light and life, the great light. The light of the world is Jesus himself. The text says the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and to those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, and upon them a light dawned. Those words from Matthew come right from our Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 9. So entering into this darkness is our Savior Jesus. He comes as our substitute. He willingly takes our place in the darkness of sin. He submitted himself, as we heard a couple of weeks ago, to a baptism of repentance, and he did that for us. He endured the rejection of his own people and the abandonment into death by his heavenly Father. He innocently suffers death for all mankind. And yes, he dies the death that you and I and all people deserved. The Bible says, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. As our substitute, Christ lived in perfect conformity with God's law. Of him, Peter wrote, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. His perfect obedience is now counted as ours. St. Paul wrote, for through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of the one, the many shall be made righteous. He made him who knew no sin to be sin in our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ's work of substitution did not end with his death upon the cruel cross, but rather it culminates in his bodily resurrection and his Easter victory. That victory becomes our victory over the darkness of sin and death itself. Paul said, for since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. By faith in Christ Jesus, we receive and enjoy the fruits of his death and resurrection. We live daily in the hope and peace, which, yes, does pass all understanding. In Christ Jesus, the kingdom of God has come not only near to us, as the text says, but has actually been realized in us. As Paul said, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. God's light shines in the midst of darkness as the good news of the kingdom is made known to people. In his ministry, Jesus preached and taught. He fed thousands, healed the sick. He prepared, he catechized his followers for the task of getting the message out to people who are dwelling in the darkness of sin, despair, and hopelessness. He told them to become fishers of men. Well, you know, all those people who first fished for people, well, they're all dead and gone. So now we are the generation of fishers of men and women today. Now, I don't know how many of you fish. I know some of you do because you've told me that. I go fishing once a year almost out of obligation because we have a fishing tournament in North Dakota. But one thing I do know about fishing, you cannot drive to the lake or the river and sit in your car or truck with the gear in the back and hope to catch fish. It doesn't happen. Or you cannot sit in the boat tied to the dock with the rod in the boat. You have to push out into the deep. We who have been gathered by the light of Christ are being told by our Lord, get off your easy seats, which say, well, let someone else do it. God is tired of our excuses. We all know people who are in the darkness of sin and unbelief. And God can use our voice to talk to them about Jesus. Jesus preached repentance in this text and throughout his ministry. So what changes of heart have to happen in your life and in my life? For we have and we live in the light of Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life. Just as someone cared enough about us to bring us to the font or to tell us about Jesus, so we care enough about others to make known to them the perfect life of Christ, his innocent suffering and death, and his resurrection victory, which is for all people and for them as well. Jesus is the Savior, and he is God's light in the midst of darkness, in his name and completed work of redemption. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.